Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's 11 a.m. in the ATL, and you're listening to Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we're taking your calls. Join our midday party. We talk Falcons here a lot on the home of the Falcons, obviously. And we're going to get back into this defense conversation. Is it championship ready? We were ninth in total defense a year ago, giving up 318.4 total yards per game, and our points allowed was 19.7. We had a true blue top 10 defense. Wasn't quite elite. For stretches it was, but, you know, not overall. This year we're hoping this defense gets to an elite level. So 404-741-0929. Do you feel like our Birds have a championship-level defense?
I do. When you're a top 10 defense in this league, and we've said all along, to win a championship, you've got to be elite on one side of the ball or the other. I said when we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think the potential is there for defense to be more elite than the offense because you've had all these young guys growing together, and it's kind of coming to a boil. You know, before you put the pasta in the pot, and it's going bloop, 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 and the little bubbles are popping up at the top, and then you drop the pasta in there.
Is that what al dente sounds like?
No, that's called what cooking sounds like, and I know you don't do much of that, do you?
I don't. I do a lot of eating, though.
When is the last time you actually cooked something? Like legitimately sat down and go, all right, I'm going to take – this meat, what? This starch, and this vegetable.
Nah, forget about it. Like I said, a couple Saturdays ago, I tried to reheat some frozen pizza and almost burned the damn house down.
He said reheat.
Yeah, reheat. You know, just put it in, it's leftover frozen.
So you guys never do like the husband-wife, all right, babe, we're going to sit down, and she's got a recipe, and you guys got ingredients, and you cut.
No, she's smart. She doesn't want me involved in there. I'll be making messes. I'll screw stuff up. You know, nah, uh-uh.
We actually like to do that. We'll grab a recipe
cool.
and cook together.
But you like to cook, don't you, John?
No, I like to cook and I like to eat.
I like to eat. I like to smell the food as it's cooking, and then I like to eat the food once it's done cooking.
Well, the recipe that's been put together by Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn is
well played.
This defense. Think about what they've done in the draft over the last few years. It's Keanu. Rico was a guy that was brought in by the previous regime, but Thomas Dimitroff drafted him. But it's Rico. It's Keanu, it's Devondre, it's Debo, it's Duke Riley, it's Vic, it's Tack, it's Grady, now it's Deidrin Sinai. Like, this is their guys. Mm-hmm. This is their group. And I think now when you put this whole thing together, you've had a few years of them growing together. When you look at individual units, and I grade out individual units, it might not be as high as the offense. Like, I think the offense has individual group can be better. But I think as a unit, I look at this defense and think they can come together and absolutely be an elite-level defense if the defensive line produces.
Totally agreed. Rick and John talking defense here for our Falcons. So last year we were ninth in overall defense, and we were – let me go to the stats here. We were eighth in terms of points allowed. So ninth in yards allowed, eighth in points allowed at 19.7. Minnesota led the league at 15.8. So we were about 4 points off of the league lead. But like John and I have talked about, if you get anywhere in the teens, you are top 10. Mm-hmm. That's just how it works out. Now, if you get down to 17 points allowed, 16 points allowed, now you're elite.
Yep.
So we're very, very close. We are knocking on the door of being elite. You add Sanat. You add some other pieces in this draft in the offseason. But the bottom line is we're basically whole with what we had a year ago. Let's talk secondary, John. I've got a B-plus grade on our secondary, and it's because I need more from our cornerbacks. I need stickier play, more vigilant play from our cornerbacks. And by the way, consistent is another word I want to use there. But Rico Allen is a stud safety. You can sleep on him. You can think that constantly year after year we have to upgrade that spot. I don't, and the guys in charge of Flowery Branch don't. We have Keanu Neal second among safeties in tackles a year ago. He obviously is a super hard hitter with a reputation around the league as one of the bad bleeps of the NFL. And, you know, you draft Isaiah Oliver. John, it's a deep group. You've got Kazee, who we all love. I mean, he's a hard hitter himself and a feisty player himself. If anything's going on with Neal or Allen, you know, Brian Poole right now is our dime cornerback. Mm-hmm. That's how deep we are.
Yep.
So I got B+, John, because of the corners. I need more from them. But this group has a chance to be an A+.
Absolutely.
This has a chance to be the best secondary in football, I think.
I would agree with you on B+. And I think the one knock on the secondary is inability to cause turnovers. Dan Quinn, he values the football. He wants this team to go after the football. For whatever reason, we'd go stretches where guys were there and they just could not corral the interception. I know the play of the year is going to always be remembered as Keanu Neal kneeing the football, the immaculate deflection a little bit. And I know it's not the same one, but it seemed that way. This deflected to an Eagles receiver. They go on to kick a field goal. It changes all of the momentum of the football game. And that one may have cost the Falcons a repeat trip to the Super Bowl and a chance to win a championship. They've got to find ways to come down with the football. I thought Robert Alford did a great job last year improving and trusting his technique and his skill. You didn't see as many ball-in-the-air panic scenarios were hit with him where he gets the 15 or gets the pass interference penalty. I thought Rob was the best corner we had last year, outplayed Desmond Trufant. But I think Desmond Trufant has the potential to be the best of all of them.
I agree, but we need more from Trufant.
Absolutely.
It's consistency. You know, the play, some weeks it was like, okay, there's our shutdown corner. He had a magnificent game. And then there'd be other games where he's getting torched.
Yep.
And so it was a little bit weird. We need more from Desmond Trufant, certainly.
How much do you think comes in with the injury with Desmond Trufant? How much do you think the up and down play was coming off of an injury where maybe he didn't trust his body the whole time?
Let's dive into that. What was the injury again? Help
didn't
me
he have
out.
Didn't he have a torn pec 2 years ago?
I think so.
But, if I'm not mistaken, it was a torn pec.
I can give you the first year back from injury pass if it's Achilles or ACL. I can't do it if it's pec, labrum. You know what I'm saying, John? Like,
I mean,
you got a high ankle sprain or something. If you had surgery on your Achilles or your ACL and you're not quite up to snuff that first year back, I give you a pass because it's usually 2 years out. But any other injury, I can't give you that pass.
Now, he did. It was a torn pec. It required season-ending surgery. He got hurt in week 9 and then he had to sit out after that, after the bye and whatnot. But a pec, when you're a corner and you're playing jam and you're trying to use your hands, that's muscles that you may not, you know, because anything you do with your upper body, and if you're watching us on watch929thegame.com, I look like I'm trying to land a jet plane right now. But anything you do in your upper body, your pec has some control over. So I could see where maybe you're not quite as physical at the line. And when you're in a defense like this and you're trying to get that jam and redirect receivers, where that could be something that maybe now a year out he realizes, all right, no chance of re-injury.
So take me back. You're saying, did he aggravate the pec in week 9?
No, he was hurt. Well, he was hurt in week 9, and then didn't he try to play that following week? And now we're going back 2 years. That's a long time. But then he sat out after the week 11 bye. So they had a week 10 game that I think he tried to play in, if my memory serves me correctly, and didn't play very long and then was out the rest of the year and had off-season surgery.
I'm just going to go ahead and bottom line you. We need more out of Desmond Trufant.
No doubt.
We need more takeaways. We need more, you know, bat downs on third down. We just need more consistent play. I'm not down on the guy. And to be honest with you, Julio Jones is more in my doghouse than Desmond Trufant for the drops last year. But I've got the defensive backs as a B+. And, John, you know, you look at it, you got Trufant, you got Alford, you got Oliver, okay? Mm-hmm. That is a lot of talent right there. Poole, Bleedy Ray Wilson, and Justin Bethel. Mm-hmm. And Bleedy Ray Wilson, according to Falcons Wire, is going to be in a position battle with Joseph Poutu for that sixth cornerback spot. But we're one of the
deepest. Joseph who?
Joseph Poutu. I don't know who he is,
Excuse me.
Falcons Wire is a good source, and they say he's going to be in a position.
I had
battle
a Poutu
with
earlier on.
Bleedy Ray Wilson. Hashtag cleanse.
Yeah. I don't know anything about Joseph Poutu. I hope he can come in and play. As I've said, all of these guys that come in and are trying to make a football team, more power to them. We hope they do great.
And, you know, the Isaiah Oliver thing is going to make Brian Poole play better. I don't think they take Isaiah Oliver in the second round if Brian Poole has a killer year last year.
Me neither.
Right?
No.
Brian Poole let the team down last year.
Little
and
bit.
They're like, oh, we need an upgraded cornerback. Second round, here we go. So I'm not killing Brian Poole. I mean, he had a magnificent year when we went to the Super Bowl. Hopefully, a guy brought in to sort of pinch your playing time and pinch your spot a little bit gets us to getting some great play from Poole in dime situations.
And here's the thing. You're playing against teams that primarily are going to be in 3 and 4 wide sets. That's just the nature of the NFL these days. No longer do you just need a 1 and a 2 and you're good. You need 4 minimum quality cornerbacks. Minimum. Think about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Dez is out with the injury, so you're already starting Jalen Collins and Robert Alford. So you feel you have 2 quality corners, and Brian Poole playing nickel. There were points where it was Deji Olatoye, C.J. Goodwin, Bleedy Ray Wilson. I mean, these were guys that were on the field in the Super Bowl trying to cover New England. Do you not feel better now with Isaiah Oliver and Brian Poole and Justin Bethel potentially being the guys that are on the field? Because I know I do.
I totally do. Justin Bethel is a under-the-radar pickup that I have a feeling we're going to be lauding during the season as well done for Dimitroff and Quinn on special teams. And if he ends up out there in a dime or nickel type of scenario, maybe somebody turned an ankle or something. And speaking about Keanu O'Neill, our defensive backs, we're chopping up our defense here for our beloved Atlanta Falcons on the Midday Show with Rick and John. I saw a tweet from one of your favorite sources, Pro Football Focus.
Your guys.
Dave Archer, earmuffs. It says, the best safeties in the NFL in 2017 with an exclamation mark. And I'm like, okay, where's my guy Keanu? I don't see double deuce anywhere here. They have Harrison Smith of Minnesota at 97.0, whatever that number means. They have Adrian Amos from the Bears at 92. And they have LaMarcus Joyner of the Rams at 90.3. Now, all of these three guys can go. Harrison Smith is definitely in the argument for best safety in the NFL. But I put out, at PFF, you forgot the best safety in the game, at Ken O'Neill of at Atlanta Falcons. You've got exactly 1 hour to write this wrong.
Did they write it?
They didn't.
They didn't?
They didn't.
So they took your threats as idle.
Completely idle. It fell on deaf ears.
That it absolutely did. Now, here's the good thing, Rick. You didn't get in any trouble by threatening physical harm.
I did not.
To somebody at PFF because those become terroristic threats. And then the next thing you know, your Twitter page is shut down and we're on Deadspin.
I don't need meetings.
No, me neither.
Or emails or, you know, issues.
We'll get to a phone call here in just a second. But let's
first give away
$1,000. Let's do it.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is...
Code word is banana. B-A-N-A-N-A. There's no S at the end, but just banana to 72881.
Banana.
Text banana right now to 72881. I love putting banana in a smoothie. Banana kind of changes the flavor a little bit and the texture. But text banana right now to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive.
Mark Owens likes to put banana on his mayo sandwich.
It's one of the most disgusting things I've ever heard of.
It really is. Shout out to M.O. He's got his feet in the sand right now. We have DJ CCV filling in for him.
Preacher Man told me I fell for the banana in the tailpipe with CCV this morning with this super special Chick-fil-A order. It took me 10 minutes to get my food, which should have taken 2.
Yeah, you shouldn't piggyback on an order with a guy like me or CCV.
Nope. I learned.
What is it, Burger King? You know, we make it your way.
Have
it your way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I look at that at every fast food place. Like, I want it my way.
Look, if I'm going to spend John's money, I might as well get it the way I want it.
My exactly. wife feels the same way. So,
like, I go to Taco Bell, I get the Burrito Supreme. I love the Burrito Supreme. I get it with extra beef, no sour cream, no beans, and it's awesome.
Why don't you just jump over the counter and make your own?
I would if I could, but they won't let me.
You don't like to cook. Now, will you even prepare your food? Like, if Charity has taco night at your house and makes everything,
yes.
Will you actually take the meat and
yes.
on the burrito?
Good question. Yes. And by the way, last night, Charity cooked up some moonfish for us.
What?
Okay.
The hell is a moonfish?
It was awesome. Moonfish is like, it's poor man's sea bass. It's a white fish that's kind of flaky, and it kind of like, you know, you just knock it off in the little plates. I don't know how to describe it. You know what I mean? The little grooves. But it's got a buttery texture to it without adding butter to it. So I highly recommend moonfish. Charity goes to the DeKalb Farmer's Market. She loves the farmer's market.
Never seen a moonfish before
so,
until
moonfish.
Now.
We had some moonfish.
There you go.
Last night.
I'm looking. You want to see what you were eating last night?
Yeah.
Here's a moonfish, and we'll take a phone call, 404-741-0929. Darren's in Atlanta. Darren, do you feel the Falcons have a championship-level defense?
I surely do, and I think that last year was just an epidemic for the Falcons. Whatever we need to go right, we ain't going to go right. And the defense was really just the stamp. It was really the staple for us, and I think that's what it's going to be from this point on, because the best thing to happen to this defense, with them being one of the younger defense to go to a Super Bowl and do what they did, was to lose the Super Bowl. And I think it's a chip that this entire defense going to have on their shoulder, man. It's just too much talent.
I agree, and again, to me, it goes back to the fact, and appreciate the phone call, Darren, that you have a group that's growing together. Now, I don't agree that the best thing that happened was losing the Super Bowl.
I get his point, though. I know what he's saying, because it did put a chip on their shoulder, but I'll take the chip. And then, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think the chip still would have been there. But
I don't want
point.
A chip on my shoulder. I want a championship.
Mm-hmm. Here's what he's saying, though, that that process of losing and taking your game back to the lab made our Falcons that much better. And if you are annoyed or irritated by the musical choice here today, you voted for it, yep. Ladies and gentlemen. You went to at Rick and John 929 and voted for David Hasselhoff. We didn't. You did. But we love you.
I really don't love that people voted for this. You guys need to look yourself in the mirror and reevaluate you and Paul Bible's choice. We take a break. We come back. Braves, they're rolling. What's next for them? We talk about it on Sports Radio 92.9. The game.
Braves Country and our signal have the same reach. So, let's get to it. Play ball! This is your Braves Breakdown with Rick and John.
And we come to you from the Kia Studios, and Braves get another victory last night. 8 games over .500. Still first place in the National League East. And I did a little stat work during the break, John, and because I wanted to see where you said, what's next for our Braves? We'll get to that because it's tonight and obviously Saturday and Sunday at Miami, and then dreaming big from there. But our Braves, we just talked about our Falcons mm-hmm. having safely a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense.
Yep.
Same could be said of our Braves with the pitching and the hitting. Let's break it down. Hitting-wise, John, they're third in runs. And these are major league rankings, not just National League. I like to look at the whole league. Only the Yankees and Red Sox are scoring more runs than our guys. Mm-hmm. 196 we have. We are first in Major League Baseball in batting average at 271. We are first in Major League Baseball in on-base percentage at 338. Fourth in slugging at 442. Second in OPS, which is on-base percentage plus slugging percentage, at 780. We are second in hits at 351. The one stat that we lag a little bit is homers. We have 43 of them. We're 11th in Major League Baseball in home runs, and the LA Angels are first with 55 to give you the comparison.
Yeah, and that's with a team that right now, without Dansby Swanson, who was hitting around 300 before the time he goes out for injury, still trying to figure out what Jose Bautista is, and I believe he had his first RBI last night as a member of the Atlanta Braves, so you're going to start to potentially get some of his pop in the lineup. You had Ender Inciarte, who early in the year really was struggling, and he's starting to get hot. So you like to think that this offense, as good as it's been, Rick, is even going to be better. And now all of a sudden, in Luis Gajara, as you mentioned earlier on, pitching a couple of innings last night, you throw that power arm into the bullpen. And if you can somehow get our starters to get into the sixth inning, you'd like to think that this is going to be a lights-out type team that can start winning a bunch of games, and they've already been winning a bunch of series. Here's what you start to look at, though. In the division, Philly, surprisingly, 22-15. Nationals still in this thing at 21-18, 2.5 back. The Mets are falling apart. They're now 1 game over .500 after a 12-2 start in the Marlins. Well, that's just a Triple-A team.
And, you know, Jeter gutted it. There's still some good players on this Marlins team. I don't know if you guys liked their pitcher last night. I'm a fan. I like the way he pitches. He uses the entire strike zone, changes speeds terrifically. He can blast that baby up there at about 94 when he needs to. I'm talking about Caleb Smith, the guy that we eventually got to in the fifth inning last night. And we're going to see a guy, Harlan Garcia, over the weekend. I believe on Saturday, maybe Sunday. He is a big-time young pitching talent. He got blowed up in his last start. But before then, he had an ERA in the ones. He was on my fantasy team. John, the offense, is elite. By far the best offense in the National League. And really, I would only say that the Yankees and the Red Sox, who, how much money do they have in their offenses, John? $210 million.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just insane. The money that they put into their offenses, and then you watch the Red Sox and the Yankees in a great game last night. Mm-hmm. J.D. Martinez went yard to win it for the Bo Sox. They had to pay over $100 million to get J.D. Martinez right. off the scrap heap. And so they have this unbelievable offense. We're doing it, you know, with homegrown guys. We've got one guy who's super paid, and we're hanging with the Yankees and Red Sox. That's what we're doing this year.
Well, in fairness, the Yankees not as overpaid as they once were. I mean, you think Judge is a homegrown guy. They did go get Didi Gregorius after Jeter retires, but then Torres is a homegrown guy. Bird, when he's back healthy, homegrown. Sanchez, homegrown. Stanton's the one big piece that they added, and they added that via trade because the Marlins were gutting the team. It's a different philosophy, but the Red Sox, you're right, they're just handing out cash like they're the lottery ticket.
It's because they have to beat the Yankees, mm-hmm. and they'll spend whatever they have to spend to try to do that. And so let's look at the pitching right now for our Braves. Again, I said top 10. We have the best offense in the National League and like maybe third overall behind the Yankees and Red Sox. Here's where we slot among all 30 teams in Major League Baseball, pitching-wise. Mm-hmm. Ninth in ERA at 354. Ninth in strikeouts at 336. 10th in opposing batting average, a very important statistic, at 232. We are first in blown saves at only two. Mm-hmm. We are first in save percentage at 80%. And we are second in home runs allowed at 30. So the pitching has been just a little bit behind the hitting. And there you go, one of the best teams in the NL.
Well, and that goes back to when you go home runs allowed, where do you play? SunTrust Park. We talked about the launching pad that it's become and how much, and you broke down yesterday the difference between the home and away splits for this team. Our pitchers need to learn how to throw at home, and I don't know what they need to do. Or you just got to realize that, hey, when we're at home, we got to outslug everybody.
I think that's what we may be coming to. I really do. Up in Philadelphia and Cincinnati, that's kind of the ball game. You always hear about Cincinnati. No lead is safe. Cincinnati. And we saw that, dude. We went up there, mm-hmm. 3 weeks ago, and they absolutely smacked us around their park with the bats, and they had been silent with the bats all year before that series.
Here's what's tough. When you start to look out in the future, and again, it's only a year and some change at SunTrust Park, so there's not a true trend, but you're starting to get trends with the ERAs of the pitchers that are here. How do you attract a free agent pitcher moving forward if they go, wait a second, at home where I might get 15, 17 starts, this is a park where pitchers have not succeeded. Colorado doesn't really attract free agent pitchers anymore because who the heck wants to go out there and pitch 15, 17 games?
It's a great point and a great question, but I don't think it applies to us yet. You have a couple of reasons why. Colorado is notorious 20, 30 years out of being a hitter's park, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody, like it's just, even casual baseball fans know that every game at Coors Field is 9-8. I don't think their reputation is as pervasive for that in Cincinnati or Philadelphia. If you really know baseball, you know that. Mm-hmm. But John, this is the second year of SunTrust Park. I just don't think it's a big enough sample for the league to be looking at SunTrust Park as a launching pad 2.0.
Right.
Maybe it is. The other thing is, I think a pitcher will be willing to maybe know that a couple of homers more at this new park, mm-hmm. A, the money, and B, if you've got a winning product. And if that pitcher thinks that he is coming to a winning situation to go to the playoffs and maybe win a World Series. So, good question, but I don't think that's going to buzzkill us as we try to get some big free agents.
Well,
here.
And it's not yet because, let's be honest, they haven't been in the market for a big free agent as of yet. We talked about some guys the other day that'll be free after next year, like a Dallas Keuchel. Can you go out and bid for him at 30, 31 years old? Maybe you go do that at that scenario. And again, a guy like Dallas Keuchel is going to go, I've got plus stuff. I throw my pitches where I want to pitch them. And maybe Atlanta is that mm-hmm. hot young team. I think what's going to help, and you kind of just mentioned this, but all the youth on this team, core growing together, guys under team control, you potentially could have guys that are together 5, 6, 7 years, and a veteran looks and goes, yeah, I'd love to play with Albie, Swanson, Inciarte, Ronald Acuna, Freddie Freeman. Let me go play and pitch with those guys batting behind me.
And the Braves, last I checked, are one of the brand names of Major League Baseball. And I don't believe that's changed with us being lousy the last 3 years. Now, I'm not putting us up with Yankees, Red Sox, Dodgers, but I do think the Braves Look, they have more brand name recognition than the Twins.
Sure.
They have more brand name recognition than the Mariners. I'm just saying, I think the Braves would be an attractive destination for free agents.
I'll be real, though. I think the star is waning some. When you have a group in Liberty Media who has not historically wanted to spend money and now for 4 years, going into this year, had put a – or 3 years at least – had put a very poor product on the field – you know how quickly things can change in the minds of sports fans. And it's no longer, you know, when the Braves' power really came to be, cable was growing with it. And TBS being, what was it, America's station, people were watching that. And the Braves were on every night in every home. Well, guess what? Now you can see every team every night in every home. So it's not quite as big as it was in the 80s and 90s where you got to see the Braves every night, and they were really the only baseball you might have seen outside of what was on ESPN or your local channel. It's a little different today, but I think they can get back to that. Let the Braves have a playoff year. You'll see that A hat everywhere.
That's what I'm talking about. And I want to make a point about Johan Camargo. Johan Camargo is playing shortstop right now because Dansby Swanson's on the disabled list with the wrist injury. Jose Bautista's playing third base. Mm-hmm. And John's right. He did have his first RBI last night. It was 1-0 going into the fifth. Sixth, actually, I think, and then our bats exploded. Grand slam from Albies, and Freddie hitting a home run as well, and Katie barred the door at that point. But when Dansby Swanson is back, he will be our shortstop. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now you have Camargo, who's very able at third base, and Jose Bautista. I want to put this on Jose Bautista right now. You have until Dansby Swanson returns from the DL to get your act together, or I'm playing Camargo at third base.
Absolutely.
And you will be a bat off the bench. Because Bautista right now is hitting 3-for-20, and it's early. It's only 6 games. And it's not like Camargo's setting the world on fire with a 220 average, but he had a couple of hits last night, and I just like the way he plays. He's got a feisty, competitive, I-gotta-win vibe about him. Mm-hmm. I'm a Johan Camargo fan. Chipper Jones, more importantly, is a big Johan Camargo fan. So do you agree with me that I would give Bautista that window until Swanson is healthy to get it right, or you're going to the bench?
Absolutely. Hey, don't forget you could join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Grady Jarrett as we present the 5th annual 92.9 The Game Celebrity Golf Classic Wednesday, June 6th at Top Golf Midtown. That's right. We're switching things up. We're going to have some target golf, so anybody has a chance. Bringing in some top-notch celebrities as well. Grady Jarrett, Brian Jordan, Vic Beasley, Sean Weatherspoon, Takeo Spikes, Ray Lewis.
Who?
Ray Lewis.
Who?
Ray Lewis, Deshaun Williams, Derek Shelby, and many more. So sign your team up today. Go to the event page at 92.9thegame.com to register. I want something before.
Ray Lewis?
Yeah, Ray Lewis.
That's a good get.
That's a hell of a get.
Does he live here?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
He's rich enough. He might have a home here. Shout out to Ray Lewis if you're listening.
I'm just going to drop this little nugget before we go to break.
Hit me.
Dwayne Casey, fired.
Oh, come on. Stop it.
When you're the coach of the chokiest of the chokers, the worst number one seed maybe in the history of the NBA.
They did not do it.
Fired.
They did not do it.
Yep.
Ugh.
That's going to be a premier job for somebody.
Could we get Dwayne Casey in front of Tony Ressler and Travis Schlenk stat?
I think that ship is, as they say,
I'm just saying,
sailed.
Like he doesn't fit the profile of what they want as a head coach. They want a young guy who can groom and player develop and all that kind of stuff. This is a sad, sad day for the NBA. Mm-hmm. It really is. This is officially the worst coaching firing in NBA history. They had the best season in franchise history. He just won Coach of the Year, and you've got choke artists in Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka, and they fired Dwayne Casey. Unbelievable. Let's talk Braves. I got to get off the topic. I got nothing good to say. Nothing.
Well, the good thing is we get to go to break. That's why I dropped this when we went to break. Let you stew.
Wow. Sunshine and rainbows and puppies, right?
Hey, how about we talk
because we got the Hoff. We're listening to David Hasselhoff all day.
There's nothing sunshine, rainbow, or puppy about David Hasselhoff. But what there is, sunshine, rainbows, and puppies, is the quarterback in Athens. Athlon put out their top 25 quarterbacks. Where is Jake from? Talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9. Again.
Have the latest news from college football and want to hear from you. 404-741-0929. This is the College Football Cheat Sheet on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Can't wait to talk some college ball with my boy John Michaels, and the College Football Cheat Sheet is brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC Tune-Up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. So Jake Fromm, a lot of talk about him in rankings. It's rankings season in the college football offseason. And Athlon Sports, we appreciate their work. By the way, as I was cleansing last night on Twitter, I did see that Phil Steele is following me.
Yeah.
So Phil Steele survived. I'm just kidding. I would follow Phil Steele.
But Tim Reynolds did not.
He did not. Tim Reynolds of AP. But I would follow Phil Steele even if he did not follow me. We love Phil Steele.
That's another guy, Tim Reynolds, that I'd like to punch in the face.
But let's talk Jake Fromm and where he stacks up in Athlon's rankings for SEC quarterbacks.
Well, I actually found their whole top 130. They broke down all 130 quarterbacks. So in the SEC, guys in front of Jake Fromm, Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Drew Lock.
I'm not okay with that.
Jarrett Stidham.
I'm not okay with that either.
Nick Fitzgerald.
I'm definitely not okay with that.
And then Jake Fromm comes in after that.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, Nick Fitzgerald is a phenomenal athlete and a really good dual threat quarterback coming off a snapped lower leg. Who are the other guys here? Jarrett
Stidham
got beat by Jake Fromm. Wait a minute.
Well, they split games last year.
Yeah, they split games. They split last year. But, I can't put Stidham above Jake Fromm.
Stidham had 31-58 through the air. He had 10 passing plays of 50 yards or more, which was fifth among all FBS quarterbacks.
I mean, he made some big plays. There's no doubt about it. And he's a good QB. I wouldn't put him above Jake Fromm. And then
Drew Lock.
Are you kidding me? Like, does he have a bigger arm than Jake Fromm? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it, though, right?
I'm not.
He's got more arm talent than Jake Fromm.
Sure.
And that's it, though,
absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. Has he won nearly as much as Jake Fromm?
No.
I don't understand how Drew Lock can be above Jake Fromm. I don't get that.
I'll be honest. I don't know how Tua Tagovailoa's ahead of him. I know he had the unbelievable comeback in the national title game. Great, great game. You know, say what you want. The kid earned everything. Let me see you do it now for an entire season as the starter where you're not the wild card that comes off the bench that nobody was really expecting.
I mean, I get that, John, but in college football, when we debate, it always comes back to who beat who head-to-head. It always comes back to that. You know, you could talk about, well, Penn State's a better team. Well, they didn't beat Ohio State. Ohio State beat them head-to-head. And so, like, it just silences the whole thing. It's like Shaq telling Charles Barkley that I got rings and you don't. It just ends the conversation. So, I think Athlon Sports is bottom lining it. Tua beat Fromm in the national championship game, and so it shall be.
And I don't agree with that argument at all. You want to argue teams? Awesome. Who wins? That's the bottom line. How do you argue players as fact to who won over who to who's a better quarterback? If that's the case, their number one quarterback overall has no business being number one. They have Will Greer number one. He lost three or four games last year.
I would put Jake Fromm behind Tua Tagovailoa.
I would not.
Who would you have above Jake Fromm?
If I were to go through all the quarterbacks on this list, and I've got one through 130, I would have Trace McSorley would be above him.
Well, let's focus on SEC here for just a minute. Like you mentioned, Locke.
I'd have him as
Stidham.
The top QB coming back in the SEC.
Number one.
Yes.
All right, I would have him number two behind Tua. Okay, so we're close, but you and I agree.
We would
not have Lock, Stidham, and Fitzgerald.
Stidham would
ahead
be the number one argument for me. Stidham put up unbelievable numbers for Auburn. You know, helped get them in position to go to an SEC championship game, beat Alabama, beat Georgia. Stidham's a hell of a player.
He is,
and it was only year one in that offense. So I think in year two, with him really getting things rolling, you might see 4,000 yards passing this year out of Jarrett Stidham.
I like Stidham. I don't know if I like Stidham that much. I don't know if I like him that much.
I would probably have Fromm 1, Stidham 2, Tua 3. Then I would have Drew Lock. I'd have Nick Fitzgerald and then Drew Lock.
All right, so let's go beyond Fromm and talk about some of these SEC quarterbacks. Like, in terms of, is there another ranking that we disagree with? Who's behind Fromm?
Behind Fromm, and just to go to the SEC, I'm going to have to scroll for a minute.
Oh, no.
Jake Bentley from South Carolina is right behind Fromm.
Yeah, bro, I got it right here. It has been condensed by a website that I don't have the name of anymore. Yeah, it goes Jake Bentley, Kyle Shurmur of Vandy,
sure.
Jordan Ta'amu of Ole Miss.
I'd have Ta'amu higher than Shurmur.
I would, but it's close. They have Nick Starkel of Texas A&M next, then Keller Christ of Tennessee, then Miles Brennan of LSU, then Cole Kelly of Arkansas, Felipe Franks of Florida,
yuck,
and then Terry Wilson of Kentucky. That rounds out the SEC QBs.
Boy, Felipe Franks is that bad.
I would put Ta'amu above Shurmur. I don't know if I'd put Ta'amu above Bentley.
I probably would not. Not yet, but he has the potential to be there.
And I would probably put Nick Starkel above Kyle Shurmur. And Kyle Shurmur, I looked at his numbers. He was a little better than I thought last year. He actually had a decent year for Vanderbilt, but I like Nick Starkel. I think he's really going to flourish in that Jimbo Fisher offense.
Over in the ACC, it's very interesting as well as we start talking about the quarterbacks here. The top 130 as rated by Athlon Sports, and I'm just scrolling through trying to find the ACC quarterbacks. There's not a single ACC quarterback in the top 10. Highest-ranked quarterback of the ACC, Ryan Finley, NC State, comes in at number 13. Sounds about right for him. He's a guy that had a good year. Can he do it now without some of his pieces that he had a season ago?
Well, if you want to be looked at differently by the NFL, then become a make-everybody-better guy.
Uh-huh.
That's what Tom Brady does. That's what Drew Brees does. That's what Aaron Rodgers does. We always say you could take guys from the Alliance of American Football and put them around Drew Brees. He's still going to throw for 5,000 yards. Be that guy, right? You're the vet coming back. Make everybody better. And by the way, he's got Jacoby Myers. He's got Kelvin Harmon. He's got some good receivers to throw the rock to.
Here's who rounds out to Georgia Tech in the ACC. Kelly Bryant comes in after. He's the number 20th ranked quarterback in the country. After that, Eric Dungy of Syracuse.
Like
he comes in the top 25. He's number 23.
Mm-hmm.
Then James Blackman at number 30, and I just did the eye roll with that one. Malik Rozier then at 39th overall.
Hold on. They have Blackman ahead of Rozier?
Ridiculous.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, I'm more blown away by that than I am this Dwayne Casey news. Like, really?
Yeah.
They have James Blackman ahead of Malik Rozier.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
They also have Daniel Jones of Duke above Malik Rozier.
Stop it.
He's at number 38. Then Malik's at
39. Didn't Rozier in Miami crush Jones and Duke last year?
He did.
Seem to remember a runaway victory there.
And then Taquan Marshall of Georgia Tech. I would have Taquan Marshall a lot higher than this.
I'd have him higher than the Duke quarterback.
And I'd have him higher than the Florida State quarterback.
Bingo, John.
Who's more electric with the ball in their hand, Taquan Marshall or James Blackman?
I'll take Taquan Marshall.
And I'm not – James Blackman may not even be the quarterback. It's probably going to be DeAndre Francois.
Might not be. They're getting shady with that ranking a little bit. But
might be Bailey Hockman for all we know.
So it is a good debate, though, the Tua versus Fromm. You know, did Tua do enough with the super, you know, Brady-esque clutchness in the national championship game to vault all the way to the number one returning quarterback in the SEC? It's a good debate. I think that he has. I think you do what you did so dramatically and swashbucklingly to win the national championship, I think. And by the way, I watched, and I know nobody believes this, I watched Tua Tagovailoa in garbage time for Alabama, and I really liked what I saw. And that's why when everybody was giving Nick Saban all the credit in the world for making the switch at halftime, I wasn't. It was an obvious no-brainer coaching decision by Nick Saban. But, of course, there are people in their cars right now, needle on the road. What are you talking about, Campbell? It's the greatest coaching decision of all time. No, it wasn't. It was abundantly obvious that they were going to lose that game with Jalen Hurts.
I also forgot Josh Jackson. He comes in between Ryan Finley and Kelly Bryant.
There you go. So right behind Ryan Finley.
Yep.
I agree with that.
Yeah, Josh Jackson, good quarterback. We'll see what he does in year number two. They lost a lot of pieces as well. We take a break. We come back. Start the 12 o'clock hour. We go around the 404. It's a big match weekend for Atlanta United. We'll break down the game against Orlando City. That's all next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 92.9 The Game. Dot Hoff. She ain't got nothing to
lose. Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.